The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. What we're going to do here, as we've done in the past, is give you the latest episode of Metal Raps, which is episode 31 of Metal Raps. If you want to subscribe to Metal Raps, you can do that on iTunes, although, yeah, I play probably 90% of them on this feed. So, you know, it's up to you, whatever you want to do. I don't play all of them. Sometimes I'll skip over one because I have just too much talking metal stuff happening. But we're going to get into this episode. It is actually episode 31. I do believe Mitch Joel misidentifies it as episode 30 at the beginning, but it is 31. You can support us by visiting Talking Metal. If you're wondering what I look like, what Mitch Joel looks like, what Mitch LaFon looks like, we'll have a picture of us up in the show notes on TalkingMetal.com today. So go check that out and support us with a PayPal donation while you're there, or use our Amazon links to take you over to Amazon and, you know, before you do all your Amazon shopping, just an additional step there. Cool. Well, thanks a lot. And here is Metal Raps.
Well, hey there, and welcome to episode number 30 of Metal Raps. My name is Mitch Joel, and as always, I am joined by Talking Metal's Mark Striegel. Mark, how's it going?
It is going good, Mitch. How are you?
Great, thanks. And of course, we are also with one-on-one with Mitch LaFon's Mitch LaFon. Mitch, how's it going?
This Mitch as well. One of these Mitches as well. Are you well, Mitch?
I'm well. I'm always well. Well, happy and always eager to chat up some heavier tunes. So that's good. A bit of a kooky couple of weeks for sure. I think the latest news that's come across the wire that I don't know if people are surprised by or not surprised by or what it does long term, but AC/DC's bassist Cliff Williams is now saying he's going to head off into the sunset. It's not being definitive, though. He's sort of saying he wants to take a bit of a break from the whole touring and recording. They're spinning it a little bit as this retirement thing. I don't know if you guys have read other things. Mitch, what have you picked up?
I got it that he's riding off into the sunset. And I don't think that means anything for AC/DC, though. At this point, I think they'll go on with anybody. So, hey, you got a new singer and you're going to have a new bass player for next year.
And a new drummer.
And a new drummer. Yeah, I mean, at some point we'll have a new Angus. It's fine. They've become the heavy metal foreigner.
But what are they going to go ahead as? I mean, Axl just did these bunch of dates. Axl's now doing the Guns thing. There's not a singer now, is there?
Well, Axl is coming back for the fall. He's doing the U.S. Dates that are being rescheduled in September. So Axl is still there. Now, will he go on after that? I don't know. Probably unlikely, but, you know, AC/DC doesn't tour every year. If they're going to come back, it won't be till like 2018 anyway. So, plenty of time to get Brian back or have Axl on a downswing from GNR. But they'll go on. They're not stopping.
Mark, what do you think? Do you think this is it, or are they going to keep going?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it definitely, you know, with Cliff saying that this is it for him, it almost feels like it's a kind of a clue to Angus, maybe a passive aggressive clue to Angus that Cliff believes it's time for this to end. You know, he didn't come right out and say that the band should retire, but he said he's retiring. And I don't know. I almost found it like a little bit of confrontational tone to it. Like he's kind of throwing this at Angus and saying, "Hey, it's time for you to hang this up." I mean, Cliff has been such a part of the band going way back to the 70s, you know, and playing on Power Age and Highway to Hell and everything forward from that, you know. So I don't know. I think it should be interesting to see what happens. I'm not totally convinced absolutely that Angus will continue on with AC/DC for years to come or at all after this. So we shall see, I guess.
So we have him. He joined the band in 1978. He's been in the media saying that AC/DC is now a changed animal. His quote, which I found interesting, which was from the Gulf Shore News. So this is a Florida newspaper. So he's living in the same area-ish as Brian. He's saying he's losing Malcolm, the thing with Phil. I like how he calls it the thing with Phil. And now with Brian, it's a changed animal. I feel in my gut it's the right thing. It just... I mean, when he lays it out like that, it doesn't feel like there's much left. I mean, if Angus goes on with just Axl, one thing, I'm not sure. If Angus goes on and brings back Brian, I think that there's something still there. I think that Brian-Angus combo still gets this engine primed. I don't think people were exactly sort of sitting back and going, well, once Cliff Williams leaves, it's really over for AC/DC. But when Cliff lays out the case like that, it just doesn't sound like it's much of anything anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, Mick Jones is going on with Foreigner, so it'll go
but
on.
But that was a different story, Mitch. I mean, if you look at the Foreigner story, I mean, you keep bringing it up, right? What really happened is that this was well over. Jeff Pilson was really from Dokken was the mastermind behind that, who reached out to Mick. There was really no plans to do this. And it became a sort of let's leverage the brand, go out there and see what there is. And it's snowballed into what I really do consider to be a great rejuvenation. I love the band. I've seen them live countless times. And it's a great show. But that's, I don't think, the same cadre as AC/DC and what's been going on in that band. You think it is?
No, it's not. It's not the same route. But it's the same destination. I mean, if you have Mick Jones on stage doing Foreigner and you have Angus on stage doing AC/DC, it's the same result. And I think fans will buy into that. Listen, they're playing stadiums. It's not like they're doing clubs. If they were doing clubs and then the bass player quits, you go, oh, wow, okay, what's left? But they're still doing stadiums. Why would you stop it? And, you know, hey... Bring back Jeff Pilson or not bring back, but have Jeff Pilson join AC/DC. Maybe he can rejuvenate that brand as well.
I don't think that band needs much rejuvenation if they're doing stadiums with nobody basically in the band.
Oh, exactly.
It's an anomaly, you know?
Right, but that's the whole point. They, you know, people say, well, they need this guy and they need that. Well, no, they don't. They just did stadiums and are going to do stadiums in the fall with Axl and Angus. And get rid
yeah,
of.
They're not. I think they're arenas, actually. But yeah.
Still. Yeah. They're not playing clubs.
Can you guys think of any other band that's been? I mean, it's one thing. You know, if we're talking about stadiums here. It's unbelievable that this band can go on in these incarnations. It's mind blowing to me.
And any yeah, other really. Band that what that would fill stadiums
that has been able to fill yeah. stadiums on that type of platform.
Yeah,
I mean, it feels like you could just hang up a banner that says AC/DC and off you go. It doesn't matter what there's as long as that guitar riff goes.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I'm trying to think.
Like even the Pink what? Floyd ones and all that, they still had semblances, you know, one guy, maybe two, you know?
Yeah, but I'm trying. Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, let's look at who's playing stadiums. U2 is playing stadiums, but U2 is still U2.
Full band.
Bon Jovi was doing stadiums. Now there's not a chance on God's green earth that they could do a stadium, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's just so
I mean, Metallica strange. Does stadiums. Metallica's still Metallica.
Metallica's still there, yeah. We got the core there for sure. So what's interesting yeah. about what's also interesting about stadiums is, yeah, there's a lot of tours out. It's heading towards. I can't believe it's already the end of the summer, but we're heading there. You got Kiss out on the road again, and you know, Mitch, you had sent a note around that. Ticket sales are not stadium level.
Oh, sure. Blame me.
Well, it's not your fault.
No, I know. But I get these internal reports from different bands and different things, and some stuff I choose not to post because, you know, it's embarrassing to and I don't want to cause controversy. But the Kiss numbers on a lot of the shows in July, they are doing, from what I could see, 30%, 40% advanced sales on tickets. That doesn't mean that on walk-ups they're not going to still have 75% of the stadium filled, but when you're doing 2,800 out of a 9,000-seater, ouch.
Yeah, you know. And the thing with the tour, too, the arena, the capacity numbers for the arena, it's not like this is the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas that holds 25,000 people. They're playing places
Idaho.
like that hold like 7,000 to 9,000 capacity, and they're selling less than half. I mean, that's tough.
Makes the world like that? A world that has such a thirst and appetite for a band like AC/DC, and yet Kiss, is it just the fatigue because they tour so much? It must be that there's so much frequency on the touring with these guys.
Well, I'll offer this. I think first of all, AC/DC, Angus is not in the press. Being belligerent, attacking, saying stupid things about Prince and stuff. I think there's some blowback where people are just tired of listening to some of the band members talk. The set list has been the same set list, you know, give or take one or two songs for over 15 years. And I'm like, well, why do I need to pay another $100 to see the show I saw in 2009 or that I saw in 2007? Or I think there's that. And also, I think there's an arrogance in the ticket prices. When you show up to Boise, Idaho, and you're charging over $100, I think at some point fans go, yeah, so this is a $75 show. Don't charge me $150 or $130, and certainly don't charge me $1,200 and something for it to meet you backstage. You should step out and shake our hands because we bothered showing up. So I think the arrogance, the set list, and you know, they've been touring every year.
I think it's mostly fatigue. Yeah, I think it's mostly fatigue is what I think. I think that, you know, AC/DC went through this too. I often tell the story. You know, Mark and I talk a lot about how we both love the Fly on the Wall tour, which was playing, you know, at the time, you know, arenas. And I remember walking by at the time was the Montreal Forum, and one of the scalpers saying, "Hey, you need AC/DC tickets? Come on, they only come every 6 months." Like, there's sort of like a joke with it because they'd been touring so much during that time period to get all those albums out. It probably fatigue. Mark, are you on the fatigue side, or do you think it's?
Yeah,
it's just...
I think there's a number of things going on. I think definitely fatigue, just overexposure. Yeah, the market. I mean, McCartney, I remember when he toured in '89, he sold out stadiums, every stadium that he played, and then he came back in '92 and did a stadium tour again, and he struggled with that. Yeah. You know, that's Paul McCartney. I mean, AC/DC is they don't go out like Kiss is. Just there's always an opportunity to see Kiss every other year or so, sometimes more than that. I mean, the other thing is AC/DC is a much bigger band than Kiss ever was. AC/DC sold 200 million records worldwide. Kiss sold 100, you know, so they're a bigger band, you know. They're more the songs are more known by soccer moms throughout the country and grandmoms at this point, you know, than Kiss songs are.
Yeah, so. Well, let's hop back to stadiums for a little bit, because we're now, I think we're really in the middle of watching GNR and seeing them come back. And I have to tell you, I'm very comfortable eating humble pie. The band is sounding great. I even enjoy the there's some Instagram and Facebook posts from behind the scenes and pre-show. It seems that sort of privacy or sort of strangeness is all but gone. Axel's doing interviews. Slash is talking. Duff is talking. Most interestingly is we've got somebody behind the drum kit who's been guesting the past couple nights. Steven Adler has been playing with the band.
But
still, he's back and on the road, and you see pictures of them monkeying around backstage and stuff. Seems to be happy. Axel calling him his brother. Songs seemed, you know, okay. I mean, you know, I, I'm, I'm, I tend to be a bit more hypercritical of Steven's quality of playing over the years. What are you guys thinking of this tour? Are you is it turning a corner? Has it turned a corner, Mitch?
Turned a corner in a sense that, yeah, you know, I also got some numbers on Guns N' Roses, and a lot of the second nights weren't sold out or selling well. And since Steven has come back, the shows this week, people are anticipating that he's going to be in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, in Toronto. And suddenly there's been a spike in ticket sales. And that's real exciting to see. I mean, there's a genuine excitement. And, you know, a lot of the shows are scheduled to start at 9:30. That's what's written in the book as it is. And they've been showing up at 9:15. So they're going on early. There's a lot of goodwill. The Instagram, like you said, it's just a fun time to be a Guns N' Roses fan. So, yeah, you know, I don't think they'll be in stadiums next year. I think next year it'll be an arena tour. But,
the Wall Street Journal had an article that a guy I know wrote, actually, that were they a little ambitious with this stadium tour. And in the article, because as you mentioned, Mitch, some of the second nights haven't been selling out. And, you know, Cincinnati and Kansas City didn't sell out. But in the article in the Wall Street Journal, Live Nation is claiming that 90% of the tickets for this tour have sold, and that it's going to be, you know, a profitable thing. And, you know, you got to think about it. When they play in Kansas City and they get 26,000 people to show up in a place that holds 40, I mean, Kansas City is not New York, it's not LA, it's not Chicago. To me, that sounds like a tremendous crowd for a place like Kansas City. Cincinnati, again, not an enormous
population. Those are great numbers for B markets.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think if Kiss were to play Kansas City right now, they would probably get 4,000. So,
if that,
So, and when you look at the Coachella numbers in Vegas, those shows were sold out solid. They're coming to Toronto this week, which is an A-list market, and it's sold out in the stadium. So, 26,000 in Kansas City is a lot of people.
And I also think in that article, that was the comment that I had early days, and definitely I was way more bearish than bullish at the time, to put it mildly. But the comment in the article, because I read that article too, that I thought was, again, tip of the hat to where I was going with that, is just the sustainability of it. So, right. You have AC/DC years and years doing that. I felt like they're going to go out to do a couple of them. But if they don't implode, they're going to have to move this to arenas. And there's nothing, there's nothing not respectable about them selling out arenas. It's a pretty amazing, in this day and age, to sell out arenas, we see on the Kiss tour and other tours, it's not easy to do.
Yeah. And I don't think AC/DC even has that sustainability with stadium tours.
I agree.
They did the stadium run, which was 15 to 20 dates, and then they came back and they did arenas, and then they, of course, canceled because Brian Johnson was out, and they're making up those arena shows. But, I think in that Wall Street Journal article, it says that even Taylor Swift, who is just, whether we like her or not, she's just
huge.
She's huge, and she can't fill stadiums. Stadiums are tough, and I think always have been tough, you know, for bands to fill and sell.
Well, it's not even a preferable venue for the fans to be.
No, it's horrible for fans.
It's a disaster.
Yeah.
The one thing that GNR has where they could pull an ace out of their sleeve to do stadiums again next year is Appetite for Destruction 30th anniversary. Now they've got Steven doing a couple of songs. They bring him back full time, and then they can maybe manage to get Izzy to come in, and all of a sudden next year you're in stadiums again. I don't think that's going to play out, though.
Yeah. No, nor do I. And I think they have to stack the lineup to do stadiums again. They'd have to turn into a quasi-festival without a name, Guns N' Roses, and with very special guests, you know?
And you know what else is helping ticket sales? I mean, this is partly an assumption, but I've spoken with numerous people. You know, Giant Stadium, they're doing two nights here in New Jersey at Giant Stadium. And the first night sold out pretty quickly, you know, in a couple weeks, I think it was sold out. And they added the second night, which is a Sunday, which is always not as good as a Saturday night for ticket sales. But I've spoken with numerous people who are like, oh, I wasn't going to go to the Sunday night, but now that I hear they're going on at 9:30 every night, I'm seriously considering it. And I even know one person who specifically bought a ticket who wasn't going to go because they figured they'd go on at midnight on a Sunday. And now he's going because he knows they go on at 9:30. So, and my sister-in-law actually would have never, she drove all the way to Cincinnati from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And she also told me that she would have never went if she knew they were going on a Wednesday night at midnight. So I know in two separate cases, this early start time has helped sell a couple tickets, and I'm guessing that that's probably just overall a plus for them, and ticket buyers are obviously more attracted to a band that's going to go on at 9:30 on a Wednesday as opposed to 11 or 12.
Absolutely. Sure. They've bought a lot of goodwill. And while we're on it, bar owners should take notice of this. When you go to a bar show on a Wednesday and they put the band on at 11 at night, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's the kind of goodwill that fans want. You know, we have jobs and babysitters, and we can't hang out till 3 in the morning.
Yeah. And this is why we talk about the bands we talk about, not a lot of the new young kids, because those guys can be out there. Well, before we get into what you guys have been listening to, I also thought it'd be important to mark this moment because Ronnie James Dio would have been 74. It was just his birthday. So he's one of those artists, whenever that birthday rolls around, I always got to go back and listen to Holy Diver and Last in Line and just tip my hat to good old Leather Lungs, who, you know, again, to this day, just no voice like that guy. So
no.
Ronnie James Dio would have been 74 this week, which is also pretty crazy to just see. I love, by the way, Rip has a Facebook page that they've rejuvenated a lot of friends through someone, basically bought the assets of the brand.
Right.
And they're posting these images every day. You should follow the page. It's great because it's 35 years since album XYZ came out. It's every day I'm like, wow, this thing is just a constant reminder how old we are getting.
So
pretty crazy. Let's start with you, Mark. What have you been listening to lately?
A good record I've been into that. There's a lot of stuff. Most of it's not hard rock or metal, but this probably isn't either. But it's a band called Headspace, and the album is called All That You Fear Is Gone, and it's kind of got Yes meets Porcupine Tree vibe about it. Yeah, it's heavy musicianship. It is good stuff, and Adam Wakeman, the son of Rick Wakeman, is in the band. It's he's currently out on tour with Sabbath, and it sounds great, man. It's just a really, really fun record, especially if you're into that Porcupine Tree stuff, or if you like Yes, you might like this. I think it's worth checking out. Headspace.
I think it's interesting. The son, is sort of falling into the genre. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Now Adam has written some of the more, I think the last Ozzy solo record, which is a while ago at this point, but this is definitely, you hear his father's influence on his playing and songwriting on this record. Again, All That You Fear Is Gone, and the band is Headspace.
Very cool. Mitch, what have you been checking out?
Well. The same old for the last little bit. Still in my Thunder space, doing all the Thunder greatest hits and the this and that. But tucked in between there, a new album came out by a band called Q5. They had a couple of albums in the 80s. The album is New World Order, and it's pretty fun. I mean, it's this hard rock return to form for a band that hasn't put out an album in 35 years. So, Q5, New World Order. And I'd also like to mention that I saw Hollywood Vampires live on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Right. How was that?
That was really, really fun. I actually got to stand on the stage to watch the show. So, there was Johnny Depp, Joe Perry, Alice Cooper, and me on the same stage, which makes total sense to me, quite frankly.
But how does show? Is it mostly people there to just sort of celebrity gawk, or is there real music there?
Oh, there's definitely real music there. Johnny Depp certainly fits in. Everybody goes, oh, he's an actor. No, he can play guitar, and it blends well. And DeLeo there from Stone Temple Pilots on bass is just absolutely killer. And Matt Sorum was sounding... I mean, the whole thing sounds good. You know, the crowd sort of politely goes along with it while they're doing the album songs. And then when you get to them doing Sweet Emotion and them doing... I'm 18, or you know what was the song they did? School's Out and stuff. Suddenly it's like, we're now seeing. It's a fun show. I mean, if it comes to town, go see it. It's.
Are they touring a lot, or is this just sort of like fly-ins and one-offs?
No, I mean, they're on a tour right now, which was about 20 dates. But you know, they're all sort of squeezing it in because Joe Perry's going to fly to South America with Aerosmith, and Alice Cooper, the band, is on tour in August, and so it, you know, they had just done festivals in Europe in June, so it's, they're sort of doing a 1 month thing, and then they'll probably do another month like in October or something.
Cool. It's fun. I've been checking out the new Whitechapel, Mark of the Blade. It's taken a while to grow me. Mark, have you heard that one? Is that up your alley?
I haven't heard it.
Right, so check that out. Yeah, it's okay. Again a newish, heavier type of band, and
Whitechapel.
The other one that I'm sort of I'm going in and out of. I'm trying to be patient with it. It's Fate's Warning's latest, Theories of Flight. Always a big fan of them. Yeah. Again, I date back with those guys way pre Dream Theater and all that. So they were sort of like my metal progressive doulas, if you will, because I went sort of from the Rush world into those guys, and I guess Crimson Glory would have been the other ones. And just, you know, they're still at it. They're still, you know, making some heavy progressive music. Brand new album called Theories of Flight. Lots of fun to listen to. So those would be my two. You can always catch me at Mitch Joel, or check out my other podcast called Groove, the No Trouble Podcast, where I interview electric bass players, which is at notrouble.com/groove. Mark, where can people find you?
You can check me out on Twitter. It's at Talking Metal or at talkingmetal.com.
Mitch?
Well, you can find me over there at talkingmetal.com, which is a great place to get all these different shows, Mark's, mine, and all that. And on Twitter, at Mitch LaFon, MitchLaFon. And the Facebook page is One-on-One Mitch LaFon. And I'm just having a lot of fun out there. A lot of great interviews coming your way. Yeah.
I was going to ask what you got coming up. I know, you know, Mitch, your feed is flooded with the stuff you've got going on. So why don't you just sort of go through some of the stuff you have coming up, and then we'll flip back to Mark.
Well, you know, I've got Doug Aldrich coming up this week that I interviewed last week. And then I was speaking to somebody in Ted Nugent's camp yesterday, so there might be a Ted Nugent. And
ooh.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a bunch of stuff. I'm hoping that I can somehow get somebody from Guns N' Roses on the line. That's seeming a little more complicated than it should be, but fingers crossed. And, you know, there you go. By the way, since you mentioned Dream Theater, what do you think of Portnoy doing the 12-step suite?
I saw that news, and he also seems to be really extending an olive branch to the other members of Dream Theater. My understanding is that for his 50th birthday, he's sort of putting together a special party. I found it actually quite endearing the way he sort of – it does look like he's extending some kind of olive branch. And I don't know. It seems like it's getting primed for maybe one or two of them to pop in and help out. I don't know. What do you think, Mark? You might be closer to it than I am.
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, when I was with Twisted Sister at the Amnesia Rock Fest, I had a chance to talk to Mike, and he just seems to be in really, really good spirits. I think the whole, you know, we're going to fight this, but I think it's over. I think he's realized that he's 50 and let bygones be bygones, and Dream Theater was a big part of his life, and all these people were a big part of his life, and let's just have a birthday party and do a few songs. And that's nice to see, quite frankly.
Yeah, so basically what's happening is, I think the story is, and I might get this wrong, so maybe Mitch will have to dive in, but there he's planning for his 50th birthday bash, which is happening on one of those cruises in 2017. So it's one of those cruises, in Kansas. He's going to do the 12-step suite, which he wrote across a period of about, you know, almost 10 years, I think, while still in Dream Theater, where each song in the suite was on one of the albums. And he's never performed them all, I guess, in order as they were. And he's saying, you know, wouldn't it be great as part of this birthday if, you know, we could do it along with some of the other members as well. It's happening in February of this year.
Nice.
Yep, that's right. And that'll be fun. I'm sure if you're a fan of Dream Theater and of Mike's, that's a very exciting thing. You know, that's almost like Kiss saying we're going to do, you know, Creatures of the Night from top to bottom like they're doing on their cruise. So it's fun times. Good times.
Yeah, cool. Good times. Mark, what do you have coming up on the show? Anything happening?
I don't want to mention any of the people until I have stuff kind of recorded. Rob Dukes, who comes on, I feel like every 4 months or so, he'll be back. He's going to be probably in the very next episode of Talking Metal. I had the privilege I took a new job at A&E Networks, and I'm working at a station called FYI, which is the sister station to History Channel, and had an opportunity recently to check out Ozzy Osbourne and Jack Osbourne's new show, World Detour, which will soon be coming to History Channel. Let me tell you, it is just awesome. If you love Ozzy and you just are kind of a history buff like I am, this is a great show. Ozzy and Jack's World Detour, coming to the History Channel within the next couple months, and it's great stuff. And you know, hopefully I might jinx it by saying it, but it sounds like Jack Osbourne's going to come on Talking Metal to talk about World Detour. So we'll stay tuned for that. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. That's a good enough tease for me, Mr. Striegel.
No, it's a great show. It's a great show. They like not only like go explore history, but they explore Ozzy's history, and they uncover stuff like part of Ozzy lore, if you will, folklore. And some of it turns out is not true. Like some of the stuff that you and I and all the Ozzy fans think, oh, well, Ozzy did this, Ozzy pissed on the Elmo. Well, maybe he didn't, you know, and they actually go back and dig through records and figure stuff out. And it's pretty cool. It's a cool, cool show.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. It sounds great. I know he's a history buff too, so even just that part would be hilarious as well. Well, awesome, guys. We'll be back hopefully really soon. Wishing everybody a great day.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.